check. Can everybody hear me? How's everybody doing? Yeah. Thank God it's Friday. I'm so glad it's Friday. All right. Is everybody having a good day? Awesome. Well, I believe God has put a message on my heart for you guys today. And I'm going to pray and lift this time up to God because he's worthy of our worship and everything. God, I love you. I just thank you. And I just praise you, Lord. I give this time to you. It is your time, God. I pray you redeem it. Lord, it's not my time. It's not the Rock Church's time. It's your time, Jesus. And I just pray, God, that you use me and speak through me and that my words drop to the floor. Lord God, I want your words to come through. Your word speaks for itself. God, I am honored to be in your presence right now and speaking your word to the assembly. Lord God, you are amazing. You change lives. You change our lives. I pray you change lives tonight. God, I pray hearts change. I pray you teach us something, God. Let us learn from you. We're at your feet right now. I'm at your feet, God. I just lay all my worries, my stresses, my problems. I pray that everyone here does that, just lays those at your feet and trusts you. May this time be a sweet fragrance in your presence, God. We thank you, and I just love you, Jesus, and I say this in your holy and precious name. Amen. All right, so I get to button up the last chapter of the book of Jonah. And we've been going over it for the past few weeks. If those of you that this may be your first time, we've been going through the book of Jonah. It's been amazing. So many things to learn from Jonah. God's word is so power-packed with examples and truths and things that we can apply to our own life. And now I'm in the final segment. It's like a movie that's gone on. I mean, it's crazy, all this stuff that's gone on. And so this is the final chapter of the message. And when we left off, Jonah's puke-smelling, half-digested self delivers God's message to the Ninevites. And over 100,000 were saved. And honestly, the puke smell may not have been the case, but I'd like to imagine what over a 500-mile walk and a 72-hour stint in the belly of the fish would have been like. And what it must have been, how powerful that message must have been as he was walking through the streets of Nineveh. And it's like, I don't want to be like that guy. Yeah. So I could imagine it would have been interesting to see him at that time in his life. And they all responded by repenting of their wicked lifestyle and putting their faith in God. And what was possibly the greatest revival, and you probably heard this, greatest revival in the history of the world. Jonah was living every pastor's dream that a whole city would come to repentance and worship the one and only living God. And I praise God that the story didn't stop there. Because we'll all see that this is not just a story about God's love and mercy for the wicked Assyrians, but it's also about God's love and mercy for an angry, pouting prophet. The book of Jonah is all about the heart, I want to say, the heart of Jonah and the heart of the Father, Jonah's sin and the Father's love. This book reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. The Assyrians, the prodigal, and Jonah, the self-righteous older brother. And we'll see that in this chapter, how that all comes out. And you'll see in this chapter also that God's not cool with just submission or just obeying his word. He's not cool. He's not leaving it there. It's what the cool thing is that God wants a right heart in the matter. And Jonah's heart needed to be dealt with. And I praise God that God deals with our hearts because, and I just pray you guys take the example of what you see in Jonah's life and what God does And God is so amazing, so kind. He's such a father in this. He's such a picture of a daddy. And this great book causes us to examine our own hearts. As Christians, we all can be like Jonah sometimes. Seriously, I admit that right now. I can be like Jonah. All right, we're going to pick up in chapter 4. And after all the amazing and miraculous things God has done with and through Jonah, we start with verse 1. And it says, "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry." We just had the greatest miracle take place in the history of the world. Over 100,000 people come to know the Lord, and Jonah was angry. I mean, come on. I mean, honestly, it's like, just imagine the whole city of Provo suddenly just flipping upside down and being head over heels, repenting and running for Jesus because of a five-word sermon, you know, and he should have been excited. He should have been like, "This is amazing. God, you're awesome. This is so cool. Look what you did." And I'd be freaking out. It says he was angry. He was displeased. And the Hebrew word for displeased, and I'm not going to put the Hebrew word out there, but this is what it means. It's basically to see as evil. So Jonah, I'm going to paraphrase this for you. It's basically he saw what God did as evil, and he became angry. What Jonah had in mind was not what God had in mind. That's the thing we're going to find out. Jonah wanted vengeance, and God wanted mercy. It's just crazy. The greatest revival in human history, and Jonah was angry. He was like, "God, this sucks. I'm so pissed right now. I can't believe you saved them people. Oh, I was hoping you'd destroy them. I wanted those mean, wicked, evil, fish-slapping Ninevites to die." For those of you that like VeggieTales, I had to throw that in there. But Jonah had his heart set. And I think this is the trouble and this is the issue, is that us as Christians can do the same thing. Jonah had his heart set on the destruction of his enemies. And God has something else in mind. Jonah thought that what God did was evil and he was angry. I think I like this quote from Pastor James Boyce. He gives a great illustration to what Jonah must have felt about this and why he might have become angry, but it still doesn't justify why, because God is good and merciful. I love this quote. This is good. He puts it this way: Jonah would be damned literally before he would see God's blessings shed on these enemies. To understand Jonah's situation, Boyce asks us to imagine the word of the Lord coming to a Jew that lived in New York during World War II, telling him to go to Berlin to preach a message of repentance to Nazi Germany. We should not be surprised if such a Jew went west to San Francisco instead in order to board a boat headed for Hong Kong, just as Jonah fled for Tarshish. They were brutal enemies. I mean, the Assyrians were very mean to the Jews. And that's taking it lightly. I'm putting it lightly. They were very mean to the Jews and God's people. And so you can kind of imagine and see how Jonah's like, "Yes, God is going to smash our enemies and he's going to destroy them." You know, and he knows the Bible. He's read David and all the Psalms where David's crying out and saying, you'll destroy all our enemies. You'll sweep them before." This is his mindset. His heart is set on the fact that God is going to destroy the Assyrians. I think that's his downfall. And I got to say, Christian, we could do that same thing. Isn't this so how it is? We get our hearts set on something and make plans, daydream the events to come until they become a reality in our mind. Basically, predicting God's will in our lives and trying to take control. God's doing this and he will do that, et cetera, et cetera. Like, can you relate to that? Like, oh, I know God's doing this, right? He's getting me this job and this and that. And, you know, he must be, oh, God's blessing me in this. And we start getting our hopes up and we start planning because of it. And all of a sudden, boom, it doesn't happen. Or at least how we planned. Then God is evil and we are mad. God didn't do what I wanted him to. How many of us can relate? I sure can. Honestly, my wife can attest to this problem in my life. With me, it usually has to do with what I might think is an opportunity or work or finances. I'll sit there and I'll think, you know, God is definitely working this out. Look at how this happened. Look at how this happened. I'm going to get raised, or I'm going to get a promotion, or whatever it's going to happen, and all of a sudden someone else gets in that place. And I'm like, oh, my whole attitude changes, and it stinks, and I wasn't trusting God. I kind of made the plans for myself. And so I think, honestly, we can all get caught up into what Jonah got caught up into, and I think we see a picture of that when he's sitting here just totally, and I've been fierce. So angry sometimes at some of the events that have taken place, like at my work. That's not right, God. What the heck? What's going on? And how many of you guys can relate to that? I'm not going to dig into that very far, but honestly, I just want to make that point. And I think that's what we see right here with Jonah, that it's his plans. It's what he planned. It's what he daydreamed. It's what he worked up in his mind. It's basically he created an image of God for himself. And then I love it. These next verses are Jonah's feeble attempt to justify his heart to God. And I believe we can tend to do that too. So in these next verses, it says, he prayed to the Lord, O Lord. And I want you to look how many times he says I and me in these verses. It's crazy. Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee from Tarshish. I find that funny. It's like, because of you, God, because it's your fault, I fled to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. It was all about Jonah. He was basically throwing a fit, is what we see here. I want to die. I can only, you know, someone just sitting down and pouting, you know, one of our kids, those of you who had kids. I want to die. Start kicking their feet. And anyway, I find it amazing that the last time Jonah prayed, he was in the belly of the fish, and he was certainly glad that God was showing him mercy at that time. And now God is showing the same mercy to the Ninevites. Most of the time, I think God spoke to my heart in this, and you guys can agree. Most of the time, the root of our pouting and anger is from selfish motives. When we're sitting here angry or pouting, you know, honestly, there are some times that things happen and make you angry, and there's righteous anger the Bible talks about, but I think most of the time, us in our flesh, it comes from selfish motives. It at least does with me. So I don't know about you. I don't want to point fingers or anything. When I look at Jonah, it reminds me of a little child. I want to give you guys a visual progression of the heart of Jonah told by my son Joshua's expressions on his face. So I think you guys will like this. Christian, this relates to how we must look to God, our Father, when He tells us to do something. So, here is heart condition one. This is the condition of heart when we told Joshua to go out and pick up the dog poop out in the backyard. And I'll show you in a second, but you got to understand, kind of set this up a little bit. We told him to go pick up the dog poop out in the backyard, but the scooper broke. And so the girls didn't want to do it. So I thought, this is a man's job, Joshua. You need to get out there. So you had to use a bag. And so this is the face we get from Joshua. This is the condition, I think. This is what we... Oh, what happened to that picture? Yeah, that's a bummer. Did it? I love PowerPoint. Okay, let's see what happens. Man, I set you guys up and... Okay. There we go. There's my son. And I just think that's got to be Jonah. When God says, go to the Ninevites and tell them to repent. And you guys picture Jonah's face doing the same thing. So, and these are the stages. Here's heart condition two. I talked to Chrissy talked to Josh about this too. He okayed it, so. But this is heart condition number two. And this is when we told Joshua to pick it up a second time because he was just not having it. He was just, I ain't doing this. So now he's really like, are you serious? All right. And then here's heart condition number three. And this is the condition of the heart when when Joshua did what we said. And I think that's what we look like to God sometimes when He tells us to do something. So, anyway, all kidding aside, oftentimes, you know, you hear those things, it's not my fault, it's not my turn, I don't want to, I was first, that's mine, me, myself, and I. And you get the picture, literally. I mean, yeah. And I just got to say, Christian, if we find ourselves with this kind of heart towards God, we'll have some hard lessons to learn. Because I love it that God doesn't leave our heart that way. He pursues us. And we'll learn that in these next verses. I love that God will not leave this matter unsolved. And I love with what our Father says in this next verse to Jonah. God asks the deep questions. Oftentimes, God's questions can throw people into a rage. I don't know if some of you have seen that before. I have. And so, in this next verse, this is what God says. It's coming. Oh, I'm going backwards. That's my life sometimes. So, all right. Oh, went too far. I wanted to show one more. You're going to get one more? Okay. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? And I'm going to paraphrase this for you. It's like God saying, anger. How's that working for you, Jonah? Is it helping? And then Jonah doesn't even answer God. And this next picture, that's why I put it there. That's Jonah. I thought that was, we just love to take pictures. He's so cute when he's mad. I just, it's not that we're torturing him or anything, but it's just when he gets mad, he's like, someone get the camera quick. Yeah. So, man, that was too, yeah, I should have put a pause in there. So, So Jonah doesn't even answer God. He's totally pushing aside God's kindness and mercy, because that question, it's like a dad would say, hey, I'd be like, hey, Josh, anger, how's that working for you? And it's like God's, and I love, too, that Jonah is willing to pray to God in this condition. That's a beautiful picture of a relationship with God. And I think, honestly, Christian, when you're in a place where you're angry and you just, you don't think it's right, you need to pray. You need to talk to God. Throw a fit. He can deal with it. And he'll teach you something. And so, I had to throw that in there. Sorry. Okay, I love the point, and I just said the point that my daughter gave. That was her point, that Jonah, you know, God could have crushed Jonah for his attitude, but he chose not to. He chose to teach Jonah and kind of draw it out of him. And I love that. I think that's an awesome picture of a father. And God is our father. That's so cool. And God chooses mercy with Jonah as well as choosing to get to get the point across. In the next verses, we see some serious character issues from Jonah. It's actually comical, I think. Kind of satirical. Using big words, but God deals with Jonah as we would with a child. Kind of preparing the soil before he pounds it home. And so, in this next verse, Jonah went out and sat down. Here's him throwing a fit. Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head. Now I want to stop right here for a second. What happened to his shelter? He must not have built a really good shelter. So that probably added to his anger a little bit. Shelter falls over, now he's hot. And look at God's kindness. He's like, he provides a plant to grow up over his head and to ease his discomfort. Now this is what's crazy. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. The simple life's comforts. And it's crazy because you see Jonah fleeing Nineveh again, basically, because he's so bitter and isolated because of his selfishness. He flees the city to go see what happens to it, and he flees to seek his own comfort rather than, honestly, what would be a good thing in this situation is go help the Ninevites, maybe, understand what's going on, possibly give them some encouragement. Hey, God is good, God is merciful, you know. If you guys do what he's in. But no, he chose to run off and seek his own comfort. It's kind of like a doctor that has come into our town and says, you're all sick and you're all going to die. And I know the cure. Well, see ya. It's kind of what he did. And head up on the hill to watch and pout. With the kind of attitude that we've seen so far, I'm speculating this, but I think that Jonah was sitting there, if I get out of there quick enough, maybe they won't know what to do. Then maybe God is going to rain down hellfire and brimstone on them. Maybe God's going to destroy them. It kind of seems that way. Like, I better get out of here before something good happens. Yeah. And so he goes up there and he's waiting and he's watching. I'm sure he's sitting up there hanging out, watchers. And I'm sure he's probably going to hang out for the full 40 days. Just to see if someone slipped up and didn't put ash on their head or something. Just kidding. God wouldn't have done anything. Anyway, sorry. During this time, God in his mercy and fatherly kindness, he provides a vine to grow and give Jonah shade. And it says he was very pleased about the vine. This is the first time he's pleased in the whole story. That's crazy. Think about it. Getting spit out onto the shore and everything. He doesn't say anything about him being pleased. This is the first time he's pleased, and he's pleased because of its comfort. This is God preparing his heart. And I just think back in the past how many times God has prepared my heart when it comes to comfort. I'll get a big sum of money, and I'll be like, yeah, going off spending money. Everything's good. I could pay for my bills. It's all, money's gone. And then you're like, your whole attitude changes. Everything sucks. And you're going to see this picture here in a second. And so he's picking comfort over people. I love that God is using these things to teach Jonah, like he uses the yuck in our own lives to teach us. Now here's the grand finale of this whole story. God is about to finally deal with the situation once and for all. But first he must prepare Jonah's heart. Like I was saying, Christian, you must know that God loves us so much that he's going to do that. He'll take steps to prepare our hearts as well, like a father. So in this verse right here, but at dawn, the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. Then the sun rose. God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and he wanted to die. And said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Honestly, I think I've said that before. This is a beautiful display of God's amazing sovereignty, that he controls everything. He's in everything. And I remember struggling one time going on a prayer walk, and it was brutal. At least I thought it was. Maybe I was doing the same thing Jonah was doing, just whining. And I was praying, and I remember it wasn't like, you know, that audible voice where God's like, I am saying something, but I remember it was a whisper in my heart. And I'm walking, and I'm just like, oh, all this stuff. And then God goes, I'm in this. And I remember just, poof, I remember bawling and just like that. That's kind of what I see here, that God is in this. And you got to understand that, Christian, God is in it with you. Whatever trouble and problem you're going through, God is in it with you. He's going to lead you through it and teach you something. Let him teach you something. And I just think it's awesome that we're seeing a picture of that take place in God's prophet right here. It's just awesome to me. So Jonah wanted to die, but God was pursuing him with little things. In the little things, God was pursuing Jonah. And God right here exposes Jonah's heart in order to fix it. And I think that's ultimately what happens with us. God will finally expose our heart to fix it. It needs to be exposed. Sometimes God needs to remove all our avenues of retreat so he can get our undivided attention. And now God is going to ask the deep question again to Jonah. Whoops, went too far. Anyway, but God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry with the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. What a picture of bitterness. Look at where his bitterness has got him. And that's honestly what can happen to us, I think, is we start growing bitter and getting bitter, and then it leads us in this crazy direction. And here's another quote from Pastor Boyce, and I love what he says about this. He says, bitterness often begins lofty and ends puny and pathetic. The same thing happens when we become angry. We begin by being angry at big things, but very quickly we become angry at petty things. First, we are angry at God. Next, we express our anger at circumstances, then minor circumstances. Finally, our shoelace breaks one morning, and we find ourselves swearing. And God was showing Jonah this, saying, in effect, look where your anger is taking you, Jonah. Is this right for you to be angry? Is this the way you want to live? I think that's a good lesson that we can learn from that, you know. Be careful about taking the road of bitterness. And then it said in verse 10 through 11, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about the vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And here it is, Jonah, take this. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. I don't know if that was for humor, but I think that's awesome that God throws the cattle in there too. It's like, Jonah, if you're not cool with the people, maybe the cattle. And should I not be concerned about that great city? Oh, that's so God's heart. I believe that that's his heart for this Utah County right now. Amen. I truly believe it. That this, we could apply this verse to Utah County, to Salt Lake City, basically to the world, but where we live now, I think this verse, we can apply it. Should I not, God says, be concerned about that great city? I love that. That should be a verse we memorize. Jonah didn't do anything to raise this plant, didn't water or nourish it, anything, but he was happy to get the benefits from it. He was grace hoarding, cool with the benefits, but not cool with giving it out. We pick and choose who we could do that. We could pick and choose who deserves it. And that's what Jonah was doing, is picking and choosing who deserves it. But it was up to God ultimately. God's basically saying to Jonah, they needed fatherly compassion as much as you do, Jonah. And it's my choice to give it. And you need to freaking deal with it. These verses are what make me think that Jonah wrote this book, because there's kind of some toss-ups that Jonah, you know, maybe one of his prophet friends that wrote it or whatever, but I kind of think he did, because, you know, he makes himself look like such a whining idiot. It makes God look so kind and amazing. And so it kind of puts it in perspective. It just seems like Jonah, this is what I did. It was stupid. And this is God. God is so cool. Look what he said and did. I think it was Jonah repented after this. I think it really got to him. Plus, he had probably more than 500 miles to walk home and think about this whole ordeal. So, and I honestly think it's an amazing contrast between Jesus and us and God's passionate pursuit for us. I love this verse, and I didn't put it up here, but it's John 6, chapter 6, 44 through 45. And I love that it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. This is Jesus speaking. It is written in the prophets that they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. I think that's awesome that it's because of God that each one of you are here today. God draws you. He draws your heart. It's no mistake that you're here in this room right now. It's not by accident. You know, no matter how much you think it is, it's not by accident. God drew you here. For whatever reason it was got, maybe you raised a plant and chewed it up or something. You felt like you needed to go to church. But honestly, God did it. And I love it because God is sovereign. And the contrast that we see here is that Jonah would rather die than see sinners live, whereas Jesus died so us sinners would live. That's the contrast that we see in this picture. And I love that it points to Jesus, and even Jesus talked about it, and I'm sure through this series you've heard this scripture, but I think it's amazing that even Jesus refers to this time. And I thought it was appropriate to read this verse. And here's Jesus' words again in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, 38 through 41. And then some of the religious people, self-righteous people, came to talk to Jesus and said, Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign, something amazing. And Jesus answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here." And I just got to say that There is coming a day. And you hear Mac, you hear many people up here speaking these words from the Bible. And if you're in here and you're hearing it for the first time, that God is asking that same thing that he asked the Ninevites to you. He wants you to turn to him. And that's, I think Mac talked about, that's basically what repentance is to turn. Say, "I don't want that lifestyle anymore. I want God." And so it's as easy as doing that. Turn from your past. Turn from your history of sin and say, "God, I want you." And God is faithful and just to forgive. And there is coming a day, and I love that Jesus mentions right there that where the Ninevites are going to be standing there. That's interesting, who repented at the preaching of Jonah. And there's coming a day when people are going to be standing there and going, "Hey, didn't you hear what he said? Didn't you listen to that? Didn't you listen to Mac when... Didn't you hear God in that through his word?" And then that's the time when God's going to say, "You have no excuse. You've been given chance upon chance upon chance." That's going to be a sad day. The Bible calls it the great and terrible day. Great for some, terrible for others. And I just pray that you know, when you hear these words and you hear that, you know, it's just a prayer away, just turn to God, pray to God, ask God to forgive you, and ask God that, say, "I don't want to do this anymore, God. I want to be for you. I want to run hard for you," because that day is coming. No matter what you think and what you say and how much you tell yourself, and it's coming, that day. And you guys, look at the world. I mean, it's due. It's due. I'm excited for it, actually, because there's going to be justice for a lot of the things that people think they got away with. But then there's going to be forgiveness, too. And be a part of that forgiveness. Because God, just like he was with the Ninevites, wants to be merciful to you. And so don't wait till it's too late to turn from trusting your way. Turn to trusting Jesus. That's it. Just turn and trust him. Follow him. He'll lead you. Plug in. Look at some of the examples here that have turned their lives from what they thought was right and turned to Jesus, and they are changed. I've seen it. I've watched it. Some of you here have seen the same thing. It's a miracle. It's like the Ninevites. It's like, what? That's crazy. Because who would have thought the Ninevites, the wicked Assyrians, the fish slappers, would have changed their way? So, you know, and turn to God. Now's the time. And I just want to end with prayer. Just thank you guys for listening to me. God, I love you. I thank you, Lord. I praise you for giving us your word and all the things that you speak to us and teach us. And you teach us through Jonah, God, and you teach us through Jesus. You teach us through others. You use us, Lord. Thank you for using my words and my voice right now, God. I'm your servant. I'm at your feet, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. you rescue and you save. God, I've watched people's lives change miraculously like the Ninevites did, God, and it's just an amazing display of your power and your miracles, God. Just that baptism today, Lord God, praise you for that. I praise you for Paul. Lord God, what a picture of your grace and your mercy on our lives, Lord. And I just love you. New person. God, thank you. I just pray for whoever's in this crowd that wants to get to know you closer, that he'll come and talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to Mac. Talk to somebody. God, I pray that you continue to pursue that person. Chase them down, Lord. They need you. And I just love you, God. Thank you for tonight. And say this in your name, Jesus. Amen.